Okay. Now, if you got a pop-up, just click consent. If you did not get any pop-up, just continue to worship together. I didn't get a consent thing this time, so I'm not really sure if it does do it or not, but we are recording now my video just for upload later to Facebook and YouTube. So it's good to be back to share the word of God with our family here at CCC. I had a great time with my family in Chicago as well as Seattle, my mom and my little brother in Chicago, and then Esther's parents in Seattle. Thank you for your prayers. Caleb and Chloe both did, pretty well on the plane. It was Chloe's first trip on a flight, but she didn't cry too much. Everything went, generally very well. So thank you just so much for your prayers. Please keep them in your prayers. On the last night of being in Seattle before we came back, Chloe kind of came down with some sniffles and a little bit of congestion, and Caleb followed that up, when we got back. So, just please continue to keep my family in prayer. Thank you so much that, I really know and believe that, in our church, we have people who are committed to prayer for me and my family. And, some people have asked, how was your trip? Was it relaxing? And, to be honest, when you have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old and you're traveling, there's really no such thing as relaxation. But it was a great time. Esther and I did survive and we're back. So again, thank you for your prayers. Pray now that Caleb and Chloe will get readjusted to Eastern time, because now there's a sudden 3-hour shift forward. So I think their internal clocks are not matching up with the clocks out here in the Eastern Standard Time. With that being said, we'll jump into the Word of God. We're actually going to continue on in the book of Acts, which, just as a reminder, it's like a second part, a part two to the Gospel of Luke. Luke, a physician, gives us a record of what the life of the early church and the believers of Jesus Christ looked like. And what I want for us to do as we hear the Word of God, as we study this Word together, is to kind of get an idea for our church as well. What are things that we can learn? What are things that we can see in the early believers and the start of the church of Jesus Christ that will help us to grow, that will help us in the mission, in the purpose to take his gospel message to the ends of the earth? Now, today is, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. And, what a time to, when we talk about that word mission. Now, I've never been military. I know that we have military, people in our church who have served. Thank you for your service. And we remember those who have given their lives and who have served in the military in the past and in the present. And, it's this idea that you have to be united together in one mission, in one purpose, if you're going to get everything that you need to get done. And in a similar way, I believe that what we learned in the first chapter of Acts, as we began, the mission that God gives to us as his people also requires unity, so that we can take the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. I pray and hope, and I believe that we must be united together as a church. And so where we're at together in the book of Acts today, in Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, which are the verses that we'll look at, it's after Jesus ascends back into heaven, after spending time with his followers in his resurrected state, he promises the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who believe in him, and he commands them to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And so when we see what happens next, I believe that what we're going to see is this unity that comes in the believers, that we see in the early church, and a devotion to prayer that unites them together. And so let's go ahead and look at Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 14 together. And this is the word of God. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Let's pray together one more time. Dear God, I pray that this word would go deep, that we would be united together in hearts that are hungry to know more of you, to hear more of your word. God, I pray that as a church, we would be united always, that we would be devoted to prayer, that we would continue always to keep our lines of connection with you open and freely flowing with blessings and prayers and requests. And we just know, God, that you are faithful and that, God, you are good. And so I just pray that you would encourage each one of us today. I pray for those who may be going through difficulty right now, or maybe even just complacency in faith, or maybe even doubt in their faith. God, you are good and gracious. So I pray that through today's message, that you would touch every heart and that you would remind them who we are following, who we are devoted to. And as we do that, God, that you would unite us together as a church and that we would go forward with a mission to share your love and your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So when we look at these verses in 12 through 14, there's two things that to me, as I studied it, it pops up in my in my heart, gives me conviction, is that we need to be first united in obedience, and secondly, united in prayer. So if we're going to be united as a church, we're going to be devoted to prayer, then we need to be united in obedience and united in this kind of prayer. And so we're going to go ahead and start with that first point, united in obedience. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Now, when you read verses 12 and 13, you might think to yourself, well, there's not a lot going on in these verses. But this first point, to be united in obedience, is a very simple one. We remember the command of Jesus earlier in chapter 1 to not depart from Jerusalem and to remain there until the promise of the Holy Spirit comes to them. Now, before we continue, again, I want to make sure that we understand and realize just how significant it is, first, that God has promised the Holy Spirit to his believers, but what that actually entails and means. Remember, again, our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. Not three gods, but three persons in one God, the Trinity. And so here, God, through Christ, is promising us the third person of the Trinity, who is the Holy Spirit. So what he actually promises to us is the gift of himself, his presence in our lives, in us, residing in us for those who know and believe in Jesus. Now back to how this is a united front in obedience. Now it's simple, right? Because Jesus commands them to stay in Jerusalem. So what do? They go to Jerusalem and begin to wait. It's simple, but sometimes simple can be so profound. They don't mess around and take any detours. They don't take any liberties with what Jesus might have meant when he said, stay in Jerusalem. It doesn't say they took any breaks or stopped by any sightseeing location. No, from where Jesus gave them the command and then ascended back to heaven, they return to Jerusalem and they follow immediately his command. They are united in obedience as they go and await the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I remember when I was a little boy, it was hard at times being a pastor's kid because so much of what I did or didn't do reflected upon my dad, who was, the pastor of the church. Now, it wasn't too big of an issue for me because, I've shared before when I was younger, I was always a bit of a goody-goody. And I pretty much knew the rules and I followed them. I'd say I was pretty obedient, but I do remember this one time when I was very young and it was time to go to worship service after Sunday school. Now, my parents would tell, us, me and my older brother only at the time, my little brother was not born yet, but they'd always tell us after Sunday school, you go directly to worship in the sanctuary because the church that we were at had kind of two separate kind of buildings. And so after Sunday school was done, it was up to the kids to make their way to the sanctuary for worship. Well, on this particular Sunday that I remember, I took some liberties with the command to go to the sanctuary for worship. I figured I'm not going to ditch worship service. I'll still be there just a little later. So I'm not really disobeying. And so instead, my brilliant idea was to go to this church playground that was just outside of the church and to play on the slides and the monkey bars and just to have a good time. And I remember I did have a good time and I was having fun. So much fun that at some moment, I still remember like, oh my gosh, oh shoot. I got to get to worship service. And so kind of in a little bit of a hurry, because I wasn't sure how much time had passed, I started quickly making my way to the sanctuary. But suddenly, boom, out of nowhere, I feel pain on my head. And, something had slammed me on the head. And I looked up and it was this metal bar, not someone hitting me with it, but a part of the playground where kids, can hang and do flips and spins on it. But to this day, I swear that thing appeared out of nowhere. And man, my head hurt, in Korean you say hoknasseo, it's like, just basically means there's a huge bump, but not on your head. And I remember, I had to tell my mom, what happened. And I remember her telling me that God must have been reminding me to just obey. Now, she wasn't wrong. And it's not that I believe that God was punishing me or that he punishes us when we disobey. Like, oh, he's just waiting up there. Oh, if you don't go to church, oh, if you don't do this, then bam, out of nowhere, he's going to hit you on the head to remind you. Now, sometimes we need that kind of reminder so that we can actually do what he tells us to do. But I believe, as I look back on that, that he wanted what is best for me. That's always the heart of God, not to punish, but to actually give us his grace and love. You see, when we obey God, when we're united together as a church in obedience, not going this way or that way, not dilly-dallying on the way to the destination that God has for us, but doing what he says, we actually can grow to learn more about him and grow in our faith. You see, obedience helps us to grow deeper in our relationship with God. I mean, we're all like that sometimes, aren't we? Most of us in our church, as I talk with people and hopefully soon again, we'll start meeting with more people. Most of us know God's commands. I mean, at least the big general ones. But at times we get distracted. Sometimes we don't want to follow God's commands. And maybe it takes a boom, out of nowhere, a wake-up call, a reminder to tell us what our lives ought to be about, to redirect us to simply obey what he has told us to do. But God is always gracious. When he gives us a wake-up call, when he gives us his word, though it might hurt at times because we realize that we have not been obedient to God, it is always gracious, I promise you. Think about our verses here. He commands them to go to Jerusalem and wait. But why? Because they are awaiting the promise of God. They're awaiting the gift of the promise of the Holy Spirit. His commands, God's commands, are never to see if simply we fail or succeed. They show us the awesome reward for our obedience to God, which is not more of this world, but more of Him, a deeper understanding of the love of God, a deeper understanding of the character of God. And so that's my hope as a church, that we will be united together in obedience to God, that we will ask of God to check our hearts. Have we been obedient to God, or have we been compromising in some way? Though we know what His commands are, though we know how we should be living, though we know what we should be doing, maybe we haven't been doing it. Maybe we've been taking, you know, alternate routes. Let's ask God to give us a heart that obeys immediately and in every aspect of our lives. And I promise you, the more that we live our lives in obedience to God, the more full of joy and life we will live. God is gracious. And remember, even when we fail Him, this is something that I have to say. Even when we fail, even if we stray, God is still gracious. And He will redirect us through His word, redirect us through a Sunday worship, redirect us through a quiet time, and learning how to be in God's word and in prayer. It helps us to be united in obedience. Now, I know that most of us know the commands of God, but I also want to encourage us. Maybe there are things that we don't know. And so how can we learn what commands there are that God gives to us? We got to be in His word. So be in His word also. Make it daily so that you can hear from God in His word, so you can know how He wants you to live. Not just so that, again, you can be afraid, oh, am I going to fail or succeed? No, but you'll know that this way that God has for us is the best way, because it will help us to grow in our relationship with Him, but also through that, our relationship with one another as a church. Second thing is this: united in prayer. United in prayer. So, you know, the title of today's message is unity in the church, right? Church unity, but also a devotion to prayer. And that's what we're going to see in this point together here. In verse 14, this is what it says. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and His brothers. Now, before we dive into this, I did want to make a quick note, and it's not just a quick note, you know, I don't want us to just pass it by, but notice how we see the description, the intentionality of saying that they were all there together in prayer, but that also says together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and His brothers. There is an importance of women in God's work. To have women step up in different aspects of leadership and serving within the church, especially in prayer. You know, when I think about the people who I know in my life that devote themselves to prayer, I think about my mom, who still goes to morning prayer every single morning that she's able to, before work at the post office. There's another lady who her whole life was devoted to prayer, and that I learned so much about sacrifice in my ministry time in Illinois. And so women, be encouraged to serve in the body of Christ. Let no one discourage you from working for the Lord and the church. It's not just something that is for men. Men and women together, equally partnering to serve our God, to serve our Lord together. So here we are. The followers of Jesus have seen Him ascend into heaven. Just again, that is such an amazing thing to think about. They've been given a purpose, a mission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And they've been told to go to Jerusalem. So that's what they are doing. They have come to this upper room, and now they're there. And what do? They devote their time to prayer. It says, again, as you look at verse 14, with one accord, devoting themselves to prayer. Now, this may seem like an unremarkable thing to some of us as we read it. Okay, well, yeah, so they're praying. But I want us to think about our lives and ask this question: do you have a life that is devoted to prayer? You see, prayer, what this early church, in the early stages of the church, what we see is that prayer is such a vital part of living out faith and purpose in Jesus Christ. There are so many things that they could have done while they waited. They could have discussed how amazing it was to see Jesus floating into the heavens and then disappearing. They could have talked about their thoughts on, wow, what is the gift of the Holy Spirit going to look like? What is it going to feel like? They could have chosen to talk about politics and said, well, hey, I still wonder if one of us is going to be kind of his right-hand man. Some of the things that they had kind of talked about before and kind of gotten involved with previously. Or they could have done nothing and just waited. And I think that's something that when we hear the word wait, actually, that's what we think it means, that some people think waiting just means sitting around and expecting something to happen. But waiting on the promises of God, the way that we live our lives in obedience to God, it does not mean that we are idle. It does not mean that we are stagnant. It does not mean that we just wait like, oh, da, 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 da. When's something going to happen? Okay, when am I going to receive God's blessings? Okay, when are the promises of God going to come? No, it means that we are being active as we wait. Waiting in God's economy looks like this. It's a devotion to prayer. In one accord, all of them united together, actively await the promise of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. They are praying together. Let's learn from that. Again, when you read these verses, nothing remarkable, no miraculous healings and different things, but how remarkable it truly is and how challenging it is. Is prayer a part of your life? Not only a part, are you devoted to prayer? So God commands them to wait. They obey. They don't look for other things to pass the time. No, they devote themselves to prayer. They're set in their hearts. You see, because they've seen Jesus, because they've experienced Jesus, because they know Jesus and believe in him, prayer is such a natural outworking of that unity in faith in Jesus Christ. They're moved to prayers of dependence on the Lord as they anticipate how the Holy Spirit will work in them. You know, I believe that they have the mission that Jesus has just given them in their minds and in their hearts. How are we going to take this message, just us, to the ends of the earth? And yet the Holy Spirit, God's promise of his presence and power, surely that encouraged them and that moved them to pray and depend on God even more. You know, I sometimes wonder what it might have looked like if our current generation had been given this instruction to go and wait in Jerusalem. I wonder how many of us might have taken out our smartphones and checked our news feed and, you know, who posted on, you know, Instagram or Facebook or, you know, social media. And, you know, maybe one of us would have taken a selfie with everyone, you know, huddled in the upper room and posted the caption, waiting on God's promise, you know, hashtag God is good, hashtag can't wait, hashtag blessed, right? You know, maybe we would have done that. Maybe we would have spent our time, I think, like a lot of us do now, lost in our phones, lost in Netflix or, you know, the next show that there is to binge. I feel like that begs the question, what are we devoting our lives to? What or who has the attention of our hearts? Now, I'm not condemning social media and I'm not condemning, you know, watching shows, entertainment. You know, especially social media can be a great tool to keep in touch with people, friends, and families. And even to witness, you know, to others that you might not have had access to and maybe not, might not have even met if it wasn't for social media. But again, this question, what or who has our heart's devotion? Are we devoted to prayer? And especially as a church, what are we devoted to? What are we devoted to? Is it to the church's success, church's longevity, just the church as an institution or as an organization? Or is it to the heart of God? Is it to the promises of God? Is it set upon Jesus Christ, our Lord? Because if it is, then we must be praying. We must have lives devoted to prayer, not only for our own lives and for our own families, but for our church, the others in our church, but also as our church as a whole, that God would lead us and guide us. So where are our hearts? Are we devoted to God? Are we devoted to Him in prayer? Where does your heart lead you when you have some downtime? Prayer? God's word? You know, maybe even now, some of us here with our Zoom windows open, hopefully not, but maybe you have, since you're muted, you have something else going on in a window right next to the window that's on this one. I don't know, but God does. And He knows our hearts. He knows what we're devoted to. He knows what fills our minds, our time. And He wants us to be devoted to Him. He wants us to be united in prayer together. Where's your devotion? Is it academics, financial security, relationships, popularity, respect, even just family? That's all you care about is family. And that, again, these things in and of themselves are not bad things, but where's your devotion? What's your primary purpose, your primary focus? We see the early church, that prayer is such a vital part of their lives because of their relationship with Jesus. I believe that ours must be the same. This prayer, devotion, prayer of one accord, it keeps them united, keeps their focuses or their focus on the promises of God. And that will help in the mission to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and His love to the ends of the earth. So what can we be doing? This is just very simple and practical thing. Set a time for prayer each day. Set a daily time for prayer. Pray for yourself, repent, give your prayer requests, ask of God to search your heart and make sure that you are actually devoted to God. Make sure that you are living for Him. It doesn't mean I'm saying if you are not praying somehow that you are not saved, or somehow if you, that your devotions have been kind of split in different ways that you're not saved. I'm not talking about salvation. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, once and for all, you are saved and you are His. So start living like one who is united together with Christ and united together as a church. Set a daily time for prayer. Pray for yourself. Repent. Ask God to make you more like Him. Ask God to make your desires to be more like His. And then obey. Pray. Live for Him. Pray for others. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends, your coworkers. And as we're learning about together today, as we see the believers in one accord, pray for our church that we would be in one accord. Pray for the brother or sister who you know or see is struggling in their walk of faith. Reach out to them, but also reach out to them daily in prayers. It's powerful. It's something that God gives to us, a means of communicating with Him, the Most High, the Creator of the world. So set a daily time for prayer. Don't just say, well, I'll pray when I have a moment, or I'll just pray when I have some time. No, we have to practice obedience. We have to practice devotion. And I believe in our hearts, God will grow the desire for more and more of Him. And so what is it that we want to do together as a church? What is the point of unity in the church? Is it just so that we can all hold each other's hands and that there will be no conflict? No, that's not what unity in the church is for. Ultimately, we can't forget the mission that He has given to us. That the reason for unity in the church, why it's important so that we can be the vehicle of the gospel, so that people will see us and experience God's love when they enter into our church doors. How awesome is it? How awesome will it be the more we grow united together as a church? We need to pray. Let's devote ourselves to pray in our own lives. But as a church, let's do the same. Let's pray in our fellowships, in our leadership team, in our board meetings. And I mean, really pray. And when we do, God will continue to bring our hearts together, center our church around himself and his will and the awesome work that he gives us the privilege of being a part of. And what is this message, and what is this mission? Again, this message of the love of God, hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, restoration for the broken, peace for the restless, love and grace and forgiveness for the sinner, salvation in Jesus Christ by grace through faith. So let's be a church united together in devotion to prayer and obedience to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give to us your promises, and that God, when you call us to obey, it is not just a test to see if we will succeed or fail, that when we succeed, that you bless us, and that when we fail, you reprimand us. That's not how you work. That's not who you are. God, you give us your commands because you know what is best for us. You give us your command because you love us and you have a mission of grace and love for the world. And for us here who know you and believe in you, have salvation through grace because of Jesus Christ, God, empower us. Give us hearts devoted daily to you in prayer, devoted daily to you in obedience, and grow us in our faith and grow us together as a church to be even more effective for your kingdom work. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, that you give us your Holy Spirit. You strengthen us to do the work to which you have called us. Pray that you would encourage us in your name. Amen.